Well, good morning, everyone. Welcome to summer. and I would appreciate if today you weren't so quiet. If I may ask that of you, that would be so great. Because then at least, if you're not engaged, at least I feel you're engaged. Okay? Thank you. Michael, when I tell you to put up the slide, then thank you. So we're continuing our series on Holy Spirit. It's going to be part 7. But what I wanted to start with today is, let me just pray for really quickly. So Father, I just thank you for this wonderful opportunity. Father, I thank you that your word always goes forth and never comes back void. And Father, we thank you, Lord, for the transformation of your word. I thank you for your word that is in the process right now of transforming my life. And Father, I pray, Lord, that I would take myself out of this and put you fully into it. And Holy Spirit, you through me. In that the message would come forth with clarity, with simplicity, in Jesus' name, amen. And so, if you know anything about me by now, I love just simplicity. I don't like things to be complicated. I like the simplicity of just going to the Word and just seeing, how does this apply to me? How can this encourage other people? And so, I've been on a journey for the last month. And there's times in our life that we go through good journeys and great journeys. It's never a bad journey because they're all learning experiences. But currently, I'm in this journey right now that is uncomfortable. Even though you never see it, it is uncomfortable. It's been challenging. And how many of you know that you just go through some times when you just don't feel like you? Right? Yep. Amen. Remember, talk to me. So, you just don't feel yourself. And I know a lot of us feel as though right away we want to go and bind the devil and render the heavenlies and... And really, at sometimes, it's really just God. And it's really Holy Spirit just wanting just to deal with some stuff. So be careful in your binding, because you might just be binding Jesus. And so, I'll be honest with you. How many know honesty is good? Transparency is good. In the last month, I've never felt so irritable, so frustrated, so anxious, so worrisome. And it's affected my relationship with my kids, because, you know, you always take it all on them. Sometimes with Trish. And it came to a point where I was like, what in the world is going on? And then we get to this message. And so what I want to talk about is the core of who we are. The core of who we are. And so in the midst of what I'm going through and listening and having the opportunity to watch others and listen to what others are going through, I've realized that we as a church have lost our focus in one particular area. You see, when it comes to Holy Spirit, we think of the power of the Holy Spirit. We think of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. We think of the giftings that God has given us. We think of all this wow stuff, and Holy Spirit is wow. But then when we come down to this common denominator, there's something that the Holy Spirit works in us every single day. And I think it goes unnoticed. And that is the fruit of the Spirit. You see, we can walk in the power and want the big and wild stuff, but I'm telling you, church, the simplicity of the fruit of the Spirit is where it's at. Because the fruit of the Spirit is just the plain nature and characteristic of who God is. And so how many of us know we've seen mega people fall? We've seen all kind of discourse going on in the church. Why? Because of character. And just not walking in who the nature of Christ is. So if you turn in your Bible with me to Galatians chapter 5, starting at verse 22. If you're there, say, uh-huh. That's dedicated to Mark in Kentucky. How y'all doing? Okay, so y'all there today? Okay. So Galatians chapter 5 verse 22 says this. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. How many of us know this from Sunday school or kids' church or just growing up? And we just hear of the fruit of the Spirit. And it's like, yeah, we're kind, we're good. I already know what all that is. My prayer this morning is that strip off everything that you know and come as if you don't know. And let's see what Holy Spirit does. And so we take the first one. We say love. Everybody say love. Yeah. The love boat. No, I'm joking. Okay. So against such things, there is no law. What does that mean? It means that nothing works against the fruit of the Spirit. There's no law that works against the fruit of the Spirit. There's no negativity. There's no challenge. There's no circumstance. There's nothing that works against the fruit of the Spirit. And so the nature of God sets you free from the works of the enemy. The nature of God sets you free from the plans of the enemy. And so love, this is what love is. Love is tangible favor and goodness. It's demonstrating kindness. It's delighting in people around us. You see, it's never what people have done to you, but it's always our reaction and whatever our choice of fruit is for that person. It's what you are going to be and what you choose to be in that situation. Amen? It's who are you going to be for that person in Christ? How am I going to love? How am I going to show these fruits of the Spirit? And so we move on to joy. And joy is this. Joy is intense delight. How many of you know that joy is intense? It's intense delight. And you hang around somebody that's joyful, it's intense. You almost can't keep them down sometimes. But that's what joy does. Joy is also intense gladness. It's taking pleasure in something in a powerful way. It's cheerful. It's being triumphant. When you turn to the back of the book, we win. Turn to your neighbor and say, you're a winner. And so the next one we have is patience. Patience is endurance without complaints. I like the patience one. This is really gonna like smack a lot of us. Because I'll be honest, this is where my struggle is. So patience, endurance without complaints. It's not easily provoked. Being even tempered. Stop looking at your neighbor. It's quiet persistence. Patience doesn't let people know. When stuff happens, you're not the one saying, why is this happening? What's going on? And you want to go tell the whole world that what's going on and what's wrong with people, and it's okay. I'm talking to myself, that's fine. It's preserving under pressure with a good heart and mind. It's not complaining. It's not whining. And then we have peace. And peace is a state of being quiet. It's being calm, restful, freedom from disturbance. Peace is inward. How many of you know peace is like a deep work? Joy goes that way. Peace goes down to the very depths of you. It's an inclination to calm, undisturbed, content, free from strife. That's why the Bible, Jesus says, my peace I give to you. It's an inability to be worried or anxious. When you present that fruit of the Spirit of peace, it's an inability. In other words, it can't. Anxious and worry cannot happen. How many of us have ever been in a situation where you just felt just peace? Everything around you is chaotic, but then just peace comes. Yes? Remember, talk to me. I mean, that's how I felt when I was in the hospital in September. It was just a peace. Although the church and the doctors didn't say that my circumstance was peaceful, I just knew there was peace there. That's not to say you're not scared, but you know the peace that the Holy Spirit is presenting to you. You just know that it's not of you and it's of God. So we go to kindness. Kindness, kindness, kindness. It's thoughtful, compassionate, generous, loving, graceful. And so, every day we have this opportunity to be kind. And how many of us know that not every day I feel to be kind? Man, you guys are really quiet. It's okay. Man, I'm just going to speak and I'll let Holy Spirit do what He needs to do. Okay? All right. But kindness. Our nature here on earth is not to be kind. Thoughtful, compassionate, generous. Man, some of those things just even irritate me just thinking about it. But, once again, it's a fruit of the Spirit. So how are we doing? You're doing okay. Hey. And so we go to goodness. Favorable towards people, blessing people, lifting people up. Romans 12:21 says we overcome evil with good. And one of the things that God has shown me is just His goodness. His goodness towards my family, His goodness in my workplace. And just His favor, which is overwhelming and also humbling at the same time. I mean, this past Friday, we had a big department meeting, and I was late for it, but I was receiving all kind of text messages saying, congratulations, congratulations. And I walk in, and I'm like, what are everybody congratulating me about? To know that I've won another two awards for top salesperson in Q2. So, yeah, DQ. Yeah. Q2, DQ. Yeah, sounds pretty much the same. But once again, it's His goodness. It's His goodness. Doesn't matter how bad I was, how irritated I felt, how frustrated I was. It's like, let me just show my goodness to you. Faithfulness is consistent, firm in your promise, loyal, reliable, unwavering, trustworthy. Gentleness, powerful humility, meekness, not weakness, but meekness, under control. I like that one. Gentle, tender-hearted. And then I love the last one. Self-control. Restrained, disciplined, even-tempered. I know we all love that one. Self-control. So you have to love God's nature more than anything else in the world. Why? Because of these fruit of the Spirit. And in Colossians, when we talk about giving God the preeminence, we talk about having the preeminence, that's what it is. That's what fruit of the Spirit is. It's giving God preeminence in your life by walking in these fruits. And so here's the cool thing about God. He doesn't give you anything that He Himself does not possess. So He's given us the fruit of the Spirit by Holy Spirit, because guess what? He practices on us every single day, these fruits. Doesn't He? And He regularly practices on us. And so guess what? If He regularly practices on us, then we're supposed to practice on other people. You guys are really quiet. That's okay. I'm still in this process, by the way. It's not like I've done it all and completed the training. But people are our training ground. And every day we have an opportunity to practice on people the fruit of the Spirit. And when we practice the fruit of the Spirit, one is we change the environment. The environment doesn't change us. When we walk in the fruit of the Spirit, the environment doesn't change us, but we actually change the environment. When we're having issues with our boss and other people in our lives, family members, guess what? If you practice the fruit of the Spirit on them, it'll change the atmosphere. And the second thing, practicing the fruit of the Spirit will also bring our soul into our alignment. Our soul being our mind, our will, and our emotions. It'll bring that all into alignment with God's Word. And so we have to be careful of the theme of our soul because it will slowly become the theme of our life. We have to be careful of the theme of our soul because it will slowly become the theme of our life. And so we have the fruit of the Spirit, that Holy Spirit. Works in us each and every day. But how many of you know that we have a copycat out there? Which is the enemy. And so if Holy Spirit has fruit of the Spirit, then guess what? The enemy must have his own fruit of the Spirit. What does that look like? I think we know those ones really well. Anger, strife, worry, anxiety, fear, etc., etc., etc. But the fruit of the Spirit actually empowers you to overcome the enemy. The fruit of the Spirit empowers you to overcome the enemy. And so every day we face challenges and negativities that is contrary to the fruit of the Spirit. Every day we have challenges and negativities and people in our life and people at work and people in our family. It's okay. I'm talking to myself. That is contrary to fruit of the Spirit. Can I suggest this? Maybe your frustration is just a challenge on how to be patient. And what if the fruit of the Spirit, listen to this, what if the fruit of the Spirit is actually more powerful than the gifts of the Spirit? What if you can exhaust the enemy with your love? Depress him by your joy. Weary him by your peace. Demoralize him with your patience. Discourage him by your kindness. Overcome him with goodness. Debilitate him with your faithfulness. Trouble him with your gentleness. Dismay him with your self-control. Dishearten him by your faith. Weaken him with your mercy. Intimidate him by your intimacy. Devastate him by your grace. And cripple him with your humility. What if you can do all those things? Because guess what? You can. You can. And that's what Holy Spirit has empowered you to do by walking in fruit of the Spirit. Imagine the enemy in their camp going, my goodness, I've tried to destroy Karen. I've tried to I've put everything against her and she just keeps coming back with her joy and this peace. And I mean, you probably need the enemy having therapy after that. He is in therapy. Good. But that's the fruit of the Spirit, church. And we no longer can think of the fruit of the Spirit of these, you know, oh, it's good, it's kind. No. It empowers you to defeat every challenge and negativity that is going on in your life. That is the fruit of the Spirit. And so do you think that the enemy is afraid of God? That's a question. Yes. So how many of us think that the enemy can be affected by the fruit of the Spirit in us? Amen. And the reason why this is so important for us to walk in this is that people that don't know Christ may not read their Bible, but they will read you. Hashtag. That's a long hashtag, actually. Forget it. And the thing I love about Holy Spirit is that He always positions you for success in this area. He always positions you for success. And so God knows every, from the time you were born, God knew every challenge, every circumstance, every negativity that you will experience in your lifetime. But here's the great news about it, is that there is a fruit of the Spirit allocated to every negative mindset, every negative circumstance, every challenge. There is a fruit of the Spirit that is allocated in that area. You following? There's a fruit of the Spirit allocated. And so we look at love. Because here's the thing, is that if there is a negativity, then there's a fruit of the Spirit that is, that trumps that negativity. Don't worry, I'll show you. Love. Matthew 5:23 says, "You have heard the law that says, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say, love your enemies." There's the negativity with a positive, with a fruit, sorry. "So pray for those who persecute you. If you love only those who love you, what reward is there for that? Even corrupt tax collectors do that much. If you are kind only to your friends, how are you different from anyone else? Even pagans do that." So it says not to love, but love your enemies. There's that fruit. Love the people you don't want to love. Kindness. Romans 12:14 says this, "Bless those who persecute you. Don't curse them. Pray that God will bless them. Be happy with those who are happy and weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with each other. Don't be too proud to enjoy the company of ordinary people. And don't think you know it all. Instead, if your enemies are hungry, feed them. If they are thirsty, give them something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals of shame on their heads. And don't let evil conquer you, but conquer evil by doing good." So you mean I need to bless and be good to those people that persecute me? How many of us love that one? You mean it's not an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth? Nuh-uh. Then we have joy. John 16:33 says, "I have said these things to you that in me you may have peace. In the world, guess what? You'll have tribulation. But take heart. I have overcome the world." Guess what? You're going to have tribulation. You're going to have people that hate you. You're going to have people that you don't like. But guess what? Have joy. Because I've overcome the world. Sometimes it's not as easy as said, right? Yeah, thank you. Easier said than done. James 1:2-3 says, "Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. For you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness." So count it all joy when you meet trials of various kinds. Guess what? When you have those trials, there's that fruit. Holy Spirit has a good sense of humor. Peace. John 14:27 says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. I do not give you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." Church, can I just please ask us to do this together? Stop asking God for peace. He's already given it to you. And let's stop asking for any of these fruits, because He's already given it to us. Just saying. 2 Thessalonians 3:16 says, "Now may the Lord of peace Himself continually grant you peace in every circumstance." So in every circumstance, you can allocate peace when it feels like, I want to say all hell's breaking loose. But sometimes that's just the way to put it. So there's peace, patience. 2 Timothy 2:24. "The Lord's bondservant must not be quarrelsome." This is interesting. "The Lord's bondservant must not be quarrelsome, but be kind to all, able to teach, and patient when wrong." And that's talking to the leaders, but guess what? It's interesting that you need to be patient when wronged. I think that goes for all of us. When you're wronged, what is your first reaction? What is my first reaction when I'm wrong? Right? We want to let people know how wrong they've... Yeah. And sometimes not so nice words. But guess what? That's what patience is. That's what patience does. When people have wronged us, church, our reaction and that fruit allocated in that situation towards that person is patience. Because guess what? Every single day is an opportunity that God will press that button. And I'm saying God, it's not the enemy. He will press that button and bring those people into your life for you to practice patience on them. And I mean, time is going, but I'm sure all of us have stories of practicing patience on people. I know I have to practice patience on my kids. Sometimes. Great kids, but sometimes. And so faithfulness, Romans 3:3 says, "What if some were unfaithful? Will their unfaithfulness nullify God's faithfulness?" What if some were unfaithful? What if I'm unfaithful? Does my unfaithfulness nullify God's faithfulness? No. Church, it don't matter. That's my version, KJV. Kevin Johnson version. It don't matter. Okay? His faithfulness never changes. I even like to say the word relentless. He's relentlessly faithful. Actually, if you put relentless before any of these fruit, that's who God is in your life. Relentlessly good. Relentlessly faithful. Relentlessly peaceful. He's relentlessly good. And so what does this mean for us, church? We can't be afraid to grow. We can't be afraid to grow in these areas. One thing I've stopped myself from saying is, and I think we all do it, but one thing I've stopped myself from saying is, I want to be better. I want to be better in this. I want to be better. I want to be better. I want to be better. And I felt the Holy Spirit stop me one day and say, I haven't called you to be better. I've called you to grow. Because better is about doing. Growing is about our position. Did you hear that? If you say, I want to be better, that's all about doing. Growing is about my position. Just trying to... I'll leave off with this. 2 Peter 1:5-10 says this. Now for this very reason also, applying all diligence, in your faith supply moral excellence, and in your moral excellence knowledge, and in your knowledge self-control, and in your self-control perseverance, and in your perseverance godliness, and in your godliness brotherly kindness, and in your brotherly kindness love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they render you neither useless nor unfruitful in the true knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these qualities is blind or short-sighted, having forgotten his purification from his former sins. Therefore, brothers, be all the more diligent to make certain about his calling and choosing you. For as long as you practice these things, you will never stumble. You will never fall. If you practice the fruit of the Spirit, guess what? You will never stumble. You will never fall. And so two questions arise from all this. One, what fruit of the Spirit is God after in my life right now? Because we all have one, maybe two, maybe nine. And a second one is this, what fruit of the Spirit can I allocate to the circumstances or people in my life? If you're going through financial issues, what fruit of the Spirit can I allocate to that in my life? If you need a new job, what fruit of the Spirit can I allocate in that? If you have a prodigal child, what fruit of the Spirit can I allocate in that situation? If you're having marriage difficulties, what fruit of the Spirit can I allocate in that situation? Because for every circumstance and negativity going on in us, there is a fruit of the Spirit that trumps that circumstance. I'll leave with this. When we choose to allocate a fruit of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit will always back us up. Because guess what? It's up to... doesn't matter what fruit of the Spirit you allocate. It's the fact that you allocate it. There's no right or wrong answer when it comes to fruit of the Spirit. The whole point is that you allocate a fruit of the Spirit to that situation. Amen? Amen. So let's pray. Actually, can we just stand? And here's actually a challenge for us. It's actually my challenge for me, but hey, the more the merrier. Would we agree to try and practice the fruit of the Spirit, even let's just say this week, and see what happens to you, but more importantly, see how the fruit of the Spirit empowers the people that you come in contact with, and even see how the fruit of the Spirit changes your circumstance. And it's not that a circumstance changes, it's your perception changes of that circumstance. Amen? Amen. All right. So are we all in this together? So Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you, Father, for the fruit of the Spirit. I thank you that your fruit empowers us. I thank you that your fruit is life. I thank you that your fruit is for our benefit. But Father, also more importantly, for the benefit of others. Father, would you help us even this week change our mindsets towards our circumstances and every negativity that is going on right now. And Father, would you show us, Holy Spirit, show us what fruit of the Spirit we need to allocate to those areas in our life. Father, we thank you, God, that you practice these fruit of the Spirit on us each and every day. And Father, we say thank you. We thank you for that. And Father, we thank you, Lord, that the calling that you've actually placed on us in this area. That Father, that you sent your Son Jesus in your full nature. And Father, when Jesus was leaving, he sent the Holy Spirit who had still your full nature. And then you gave the Holy Spirit to your church for us to walk in this divine nature. Father, thank you. But Father, would we be willing to choose to walk in these fruit? And Father, by us walking in these fruit, Father, we know that every circumstance will change. And our perceptions will change. And just the way we view your kingdom will change. Father, we thank you for your word. Father, I pray it doesn't drop on dead ground. But Father, I trust in you, Holy Spirit, that you are working in each and every single one of us. I thank you are working in me. And Father, we just expect great testimonies even this week and next Sunday of your goodness as we are obedient to your word. In Jesus' name, amen.